The Armenian genocide will be remembered next week on its 100th anniversary. There may be some, like the Turkish government, who refuse to call it a genocide, but the basic facts are not in question. In 1915, Ottoman Turks drove Armenians off their lands in what is now Turkey. More than 1 million people were killed in that campaign. It was a defining event for Armenians. It scattered many across the world, but they held on tight to their Armenian-ness. One of the biggest Armenian communities in the United States is in Watertown, Massachusetts, right across the river from our studios here at WGBH. The World's Jeb Sharp has been speaking with Armenians in Watertown, and Jeb joins me now. Hey, Jeb.
Hey, Marco.
This is the time of year we start seeing the Remember the Genocide billboards in Watertown. How are the Armenians approaching this very important anniversary?
It's a big year, and I wasn't quite sure what to expect, and there's always the controversy over Turkey. We talked about it on the show the other day. Turkey does not recognize it as a genocide. They recognize the history, but don't like the word genocide, and there's always anger and frustration over that on the Armenian side as well. But that wasn't really what people wanted to talk about. They wanted to talk about the 100-year mark as a turning point, as like, let's start looking to the future. And one person who really drove that home to me was Armen Bagdoyan. He's this retired guy who loves to hang out at the Starbucks in Watertown Square.
Sometimes they call me jokingly, you know, that I'm the mayor of Starbucks.
I love that. Bagdoyan grew up in Aleppo, Syria, which is one of the places Armenians fled to in 1915. And he came to this country as a young adult to do a PhD in chemistry. And when you ask him how he's feeling about the 100th anniversary, he says it's just time for Armenians to stop obsessing about the genocide.
If we keep suffering from the genocide, that will be a second genocide on top of the first one. It's about time for us to liberate our soul from that grief and from any kind of hatred.
Bagdoyan says he doesn't care anymore whether the Turks recognize the genocide.
I don't care if they recognize it or not. It's a historical fact. You cannot change history. You cannot change the past. We must find ways of dealing with the Turks. And the Turks, of course, should do their part to make it easy for us to befriend them again.
Wow, that's certainly a more nuanced and definitely gentler take than we often hear on this issue, Jeb. How representative do you think Armen really is?
It's hard to say, but I did sense this desire to move on, not to forget and not necessarily to forgive, but to somehow move past this really painful grievance. But still, 100 years is a really big deal. Mm. And a lot of Armenian Americans who grew up here in the U.S. had grandparents who were orphaned by the genocide. And I want to tell you about someone else I met. His name is Harut Basmajian. He's 36. I met him where he works in his family's grocery store in Watertown.
Is there a carriage over there?
Marco, you know the store. It's Arix Market.
Right.
And Harut was actually trimming parsley when I went in. It was right before the Easter rush. And he told me a story he's been told his whole life about how his grandfather survived the genocide.
So my grandfather and his friends were all out one day and hanging out at somebody's backyard, I guess, was the thing to do. But they were eating apples out of the tree, and it wasn't their property. And the owner of the land saw the boys outside, and he recognized my grandfather and said, "Hey, Harut, I see you. I'm going to tell your father that you're out here. You shouldn't be here and such." And that was like a big thing, you know. My grandfather was scared as hell that what my great-grandfather might do to him. And so he hid up in a tree. He had a favorite tree that he used to go, and, you know, maybe he hid up there all day. And then as soon as it was nighttime, it got really dark out. He thought, yeah, you know, it's time to go home. So he went home, and he opened the door to find that his whole family was all, you know, they were all killed. His sister, his brother, my great-grandparents, and, you know, he lost his mind. You know, he saw all that, and I'm not sure the exact details, but, you know, some Turkish family actually took him in, you know, being a little boy out, you know, in those times. They hid him in the basement. They, you know, they hid him there for a while, and then once things settled down a little bit, he somehow got to an orphanage in Lebanon.
Wow, what an incredible tale, and for Harut to grow up hearing stories like that.
And imagine some version of that story being replicated over and over throughout the diaspora. It's kind of wild. And it's not surprising that when families like Harut's migrate, they want to settle somewhere they feel safe and at home and among other Armenians.
Growing up in, like, Watertown, you know, so many Armenians around, and it's not like you can drift away from it because you're always around it. I consider myself Armenian American. I was born here, but you know, at the house we always, you know, try to speak Armenian and try to keep the culture. It's like it's very important.
Marco Harut was very funny about the language thing, actually. He said if he and his siblings tried to speak English, their parents wouldn't answer, or they'd give them the look. clearly it works. He speaks fluent Armenian.
Yeah, that look must have been quite a look. Before you go, Jeb, any thoughts about how the events of 100 years ago still reverberate in the Armenian community today?
Yeah, I wanted to pass on to you something that I had actually been kind of oblivious of, and that's the way the war in Syria is affecting Armenian Americans. And, you know, we all know the suffering in Syria is so appalling by any measure. But the atrocities of that war just hold this particular horror for Armenians. And it's partly because of family ties. Some people still know people who are there or who are being killed. But also because some of the geography of the Syrian war is the same geography as the 1915 Armenian genocide. And I met a businessman called Berge Ivazian who underscored this for me.
The desert that Armenians were forced to walk across, Deir Zor, is now the place where ISIS is persecuting Christians and all other minorities and massacring people in the same manner. They use the desert in the same way. They force people to dig their own graves. They take men out of villages and force them to be killed and then do whatever they want to with the women and children. And yet the world allows it to happen. It allows it to continue.
And the lesson Berge Ivazian takes away from that is that the 100th anniversary of the Armenian genocide should be about making sure genocide is eradicated everywhere and that Armenians have a responsibility to carry the message forward into the future.
No, that is sobering, but I got to say it's also very inspirational. The World's Jeb Sharp, thank you very much.
Thank you, Marco.
This is The World.